Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Maybe you're battling with the flesh, and maybe you can really relate because you think to yourself, you know, I have been trying harder than ever to overcome these things, and it seems like the harder I try, the worse things get. What's the solution? Is there an answer? Yes, there is, but it's not in what you've been trying to do. The answer is in Jesus Christ.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 7 in a message titled, The Best the Flesh Can Do. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
And this whole thing that Paul is describing here, the good that I would, I do not, and that which I hate, that I do. I found myself living this experience. Now, at this point, I did not know that there was even this possibility of being born again. I didn't understand that that was the key thing. So here I was in a true sense, I was unregenerate. I wasn't born again. I wasn't saved. But I had made a transition from where I was living an overtly sinful life to seeking to live a righteous life, but failing miserably. And recognizing after a season that I was failing miserably. And I remember very distinctly a moment in time where I just simply said to God this. I said, God, I know that your way is the right way, but I can't do it. I just can't do it. And so for me at that moment, it was adios. I'm going to go back and just, you know, resume what I was doing before. And I did. I went back out and I dove head first back into a life of sin. But thank God by his grace, he wasn't done dealing with me, wasn't done convicting me. And ultimately, he brought me to the point of the realization that I needed to be saved. I needed to be regenerated. I needed to have this new birth. That, to me, is exactly what Paul is describing here. He has this revelation. He comes to this whole new understanding about the law. And so now he's determined to live according to the law in its truest sense. He's going to not just externally conform to it, he's going to bring himself into total conformity to it, but the harder he tries, the more he realizes that he can't do it. And so he says legitimately, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. He looked at the law. Yes, it's good. It's right. I understand that. So again, you know, for people to argue that, you know, the unregenerate man couldn't say that, I think you could disprove that by looking at many of the Old Testament saints. The Old Testament saints, of course, they did have an experience with God. It wasn't exactly the same kind of experience we have because we know from Hebrews that we have a better covenant than they had. But of course, with Paul, he had this delight in the law of God as a Jew. But then he comes to appreciate it. But then he comes to a point, he says, I delight in it according to the inward man. But there's a problem beyond that. I delight in it according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So you see, this is Paul's point. He will no longer, from this point forward, address really this issue of the law. He will refer to it in different ways when he goes into the 9th, 10th, and 11th chapters, but he no longer is arguing the law's inability to save after this point. This is his final word, and it's absolutely conclusive. And he demonstrates it, I think, by his own personal testimony as a Pharisee. So I see this other law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law which is in my members. O wretched man that I am. You try to live up to a legal standard, and legalism, it produces one of two things. It produces pride or it produces despair. One or the other. If you fool yourself into thinking that you're actually righteous according to some legal standard, then you become prideful. But if you're honest with yourself, you realize that you've fallen short of that standard, and then the opposite response comes where you begin to despair. That's the only place the law can take you. Ultimately, the law will take you to despair. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be under the convicted mind is to bring you to despair, but it's to despair of our own attempts to save ourselves by the law. And so when Paul cries out, "O wretched man that I am," he's talking about that man who's trying to be justified under the law. "O wretched man that I am," notice what he says, "who will deliver me from this body of death?" He's talking about this law of sin and death. Who's going to deliver me from this body that is cursed by this law of sin and death? Now, notice, he doesn't remain there. He doesn't remain there. It's not, "Oh, wretched man that I am," and that's the end of it. "I'm just a wretched man, and that's just the way I'm always going to be." No, he's crying out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me?" What does he say next? "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Jesus is the answer. He's the one that delivered me. Now, if we follow his thought through, we tend to make the mistake of getting too locked into our chapter breaks. We just tend to read our Bibles, you know, according to chapter and verse. And in doing that, we lose the flow of the thought. But if we follow the thought through, look at it as we follow it through, and just taking it from right there, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Now listen to this. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." You see, Paul is talking about being free from the law of sin and death. He's going back to what he was saying previously in the sixth chapter. But he's taken this little bit of a detour just to address the issue of the law once and forever. But now he brings us back around to the fact that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed us from this thing that he's talking about in verse 23. "The law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members."
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
Now, if we were to take the position that the seventh chapter is talking about a Christian, then I want you to notice the very last thing Paul says in closing the seventh chapter. He says this, "So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Is that how it's left for us as believers? The best I can do as a believer is serve God with my mind. I want to serve you, Lord. I want to be obedient to you, God. I want to do your will. But the reality is I've got this law of sin in my members, and that's what's holding me captive. That's not the gospel. That's not what we've been taught. It's interesting that many commentators, if not most, don't know what to do with the last verse. And the reason they don't know what to do with it is because they're trying to reconcile it with the idea that this is a Christian. But is that really a description of the Christian life? I just serve God with my mind, but I can't do it in my body? Of course not. You see, that's why I don't think we can take this to be referring to a believer. But as I said previously, I think the reason that commentators so often take this to be a believer is because as believers, we do have a similar experience, but it's not exactly the same. And as believers, we do have similar kinds of experiences when we attempt to be sanctified by the law. Paul, the context here is justification. But when we talk about being sanctified and we try to do that through keeping laws, whether it be the Ten Commandments or the Beatitudes of the Sermon on the Mount or maybe even extra biblical types of laws that churches sometimes set up, if I am approaching my Christian life from a legal point of view, then I'm going to be having a similar kind of experience. I'm going to be trying to do things and seeing that I'm coming short. And then I'm going to live in a perpetual state of condemnation. So our sanctification is no more dependent on the law than was our justification. The law doesn't contribute to our sanctification. When Paul talks about this to the Galatians, he talks about the battle between the flesh and the spirit, the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another. That's the reason why you don't do what you want to do sometimes. But what is the solution? He says the solution is to walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it's not, the solution is not adhering to a list of rules. The solution is just yielding myself to the Spirit. And as I immerse my life in the Spirit, as I just allow the Spirit to dominate my life, then there is this natural thing that happens. It's a supernatural thing, but it appears almost natural because I'm not putting forth any effort. I'm just yielding. I'm just resting in the Lord, in His finished work, and He is doing that work through me. And so I find that things that I could not conquer, even though I gave it my best effort, I find that when I begin to walk in the Spirit, those things just drop off me. They just vanish. When I was in that legal state, I remember one of the things that I thought I should do rightly was change the way I talked. I needed to get rid of the vulgarities and the obscenities and those kinds of things. And so in that season of really putting forth that effort to do that, you know, to justify myself, to make myself right, to clean my life up. That was the mentality that I had. I'm going to clean my life up, and then I'm going to go to God and say, look what I've done. Here I am. Take me, I'm yours. I had it all backwards. But so many people have it backwards. But like I said, so, okay, the language thing. I thought, all right, you know, I got to get this under control. This is not good. I hear people talking like I talk, and I thought, oh, that's disgusting. I don't want to talk like that anymore. So I put forth my greatest effort to curb my language. And I did pretty good for a few weeks. I did pretty good. I mean, considering, you know, the way I talked, it was pretty amazing. I did all right. But all it took was one incident that just threw me over the edge, and all of my success was wiped out in a matter of seconds. All the times that I had restrained it just in one incident, I just made up for it 100 times over. And then I just threw up my hands and thought, oh, you know, I can't do it. I can't do it. But when I became regenerated, when Christ came in to my life, you know what happened? That just disappeared. I didn't even have to try. I didn't even have to say to myself, now you need to watch your language. You're going down to the church. They don't talk like that over there. Be on your guard. I didn't need to do anything like that at all. As a matter of fact, it was a few months that passed, and all of a sudden one day it dawned on me, I haven't used any of those words. They're just gone. You see, that's the work of the Spirit. That's what the Spirit does. And I think what happens so often to us as Christians is, having begun in the Spirit, again, Paul writing to the Galatians, we seek to be made perfect in the flesh. We come to the Lord and we just believe in Jesus and we receive that grace and God's doing this thing in our life. And then, I don't know how it happens. Sometimes it happens through the influence of other people. Sometimes it happens through things we might read or whatever. But all of a sudden we get locked into some legalistic type of a thing. And our joy's gone. And then we find that we're starting to struggle with things again. And these habits that we just were freed from, they start to creep back in. And we, no, I can't, I gotta. And yet it doesn't seem to work. It won't work. Because you can't overcome the flesh with the flesh. The flesh can only be overcome by the Spirit. And so Paul, here is the answer. O wretched man that I am, yes, that is my condition by nature. I cannot do anything about that. Even the holy, just, and good law of God cannot do anything to change that situation. You know, think about this for a moment. How could we ever think even at all that somehow law could change our hearts? If you just think of law just in the purest sense of what it is, law is just simply a restraint. Law only exists because there is a natural inclination and tendency to do wrong. All law does, it keeps a check on the wrong. It can't do anything else except keep a check on it. That's all it does. That's why Paul says in writing to Timothy, the law is not made for a righteous person. If people are righteous, you don't need laws. The reason law exists is because sin exists, is because of unrighteousness. So for us to even think that somehow law would be the thing that would transform us, justify us, make us different, it's, if you just think it through, you realize that that position is utterly absurd. And this is what Paul has come to understand. He's come to understand the law is holy, just, and good. The law is not the problem. The problem is I am a wretched man. And I need someone outside of myself to deliver me. I can't deliver myself. And of course, there is someone outside of us. And so I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul's purpose here has been to show clearly that if you are under the law, sin has dominion over you. Remember what he said in verse 14 of chapter 6. Sin shall not have dominion over you. But he's describing a man here, sin has dominion over him. Why? Because he's under the law. Paul says you're not under the law. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you're not under the law, you're under grace. And so as we're under grace, and as we just keep receiving that grace, as we just keep walking in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that thing that he said here in the 8th chapter, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we'll get much deeper into this later, but this is it's another way of really describing the grace of God. Just like there's a law of sin and death, there's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and that law sets us free from the law of sin and death. So it comes down to more Jesus. Maybe you're struggling tonight. Maybe you're battling with the flesh. And maybe you can really relate because you think to yourself, you know, I have been trying harder than ever to overcome these things. And it seems like the harder I try, the worse things get. What's the solution? Is there an answer? Yes, there is. But it's not in what you've been trying to do. The answer is in Jesus Christ. Thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The answer is you just diving into Jesus, immersing yourself in Jesus. When Paul says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, what he's really describing, you know, the word walk is, Paul uses that term to sort of speak of our lifestyle, a lifestyle of the Spirit. As I just orient my lifestyle toward the Spirit, as I'm immersing myself in the things of the Spirit, as I'm just seeking the Lord, I'm in His Word, I'm communicating with Him in prayer, I'm getting together with God's people, I'm out serving the Lord in some way or another, and as I just immerse myself in that life, those things that I've been trying so desperately to have victory over, they just fade away. They just fade away. And so that's the solution tonight. The problem is we are incapable in our flesh of doing what needs to be done, but Christ has done it for us. And so we lay hold of that as God's people. We remember, as we look there in the sixth chapter, remember those steps. We know certain things. What do we know? We know that the old man was crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be put out of business. We know that. It's a fact. And we act upon it. We consider it to be a fact. So knowing it, we reckon it to be true. The old man is dead. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God. And then what do? We do not present our members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but we present our members as instruments of righteousness to God. And as we do that, as we're just immersing ourselves in Christ, in the things of the Spirit, we find that beautiful victory, that glorious release. Thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's the one that delivers us from the old man, the wretched man who can't save himself.
Here's a few words from Pastor Brian and his wife, Cheryl, about this month's Back to Basics resource.
Well, Cheryl, this month we're offering the book, Growing Together as a Couple, 10 Essentials for Building a Great Marriage. And this is a book that we wrote together.
Right. And every chapter begins with an E, in essential. For instance, you know, being an example, bringing elucidation, which has to do with the role of spiritual warfare in marriage. And then, of course, there are 8 other E's that you'll have to buy the book to find out. But this is really an insight into our own marriage and the essentials that God gave us to really build a great marriage. And I would say after 36 years, we have a great marriage.
Yeah. And in the book, we kind of, you know, chronicled our own journey. We talked about how things were in the early days and how we progressed as time went on and how we have now been perfected. And so if you
Well, I want to read the book again then.
Yeah, I think
now that I realize we've been perfected through it, let's go for it.
All right. So Growing Together as a Couple, that's our book offer for this month. So check it out, pick one up, and we trust you'll be blessed by that.
We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order the book, Growing Together as a Couple, by Pastor Brian and Cheryl Broderson. For a donation of any size to Back to Basics Radio, we'll send you this month's book. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.